Item six, drought conditions update by Lisa McCann.
Good morning. As usual, I didn't prepare a presentation, but I just wanted to give you an update on some of the items that were relevant or current at the time the report was prepared and published, but have changed or since then. So, starting with the section on Sustainable Groundwater Management Act on page two. The regulations, let's see, what bullet is that? Just so you can track with me. Fourth bullet under the paragraph with Department of Water Resources is implementing the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act in coordination with State Water Board. The regulations that establish the process for seeking groundwater basin boundary modifications is approved and fully available for communities to consider how to make those requests or apply for the boundary modifications if they so desire. On, oh no, I'm way down on page six. Now in the section reporting on the various local communities in our region. Soquel Valley, the Soquel Creek Water District has been working on this water transfer and purchase agreement with the city of Santa Cruz, and that project is moving forward. There are water rights applications that have been noticed and are likely to be approved. Monterey County on page seven. That project approvals have continued on, so I think the latest information in the report you received was about the environmental impact report for the Pure Water Monterey project being certified, but the Board of Supervisors has approved the project. There are still some other agreements that need to be in place. But again, that one is moving forward, and there's some related water rights applications being noticed to clear that hurdle as well. San Luis Obispo County, on page eight, there's a paragraph says on October 27th, the Board of Supervisors held a hearing to consider countywide water conservation rules, and those rules were also adopted and approved by the Board of Supervisors. Paso Robles, the LAFCO, all the LAFCO hearing, public hearings have occurred. LAFCO approved the item to set up the Paso Robles Water District, so that what that approval does is authorizes the county to prepare for elections for the water district's formation, for the approach to electing the representatives to the district board, as well as funding, how they will fund through a tax, parcel tax, the district.
Lisa, is that district gonna be the GSA for that basin?
It will be the GSA for, yes. Okay. Or for the portion of the basin. It's not the entire basin. So the county, I believe at this time will be the GSA for the other parts of the basin. I don't know what the exact boundaries are, but.
And so the district will then have a seat on the GSA board.
No, they will be the GSA.
Yeah.
The Paso Robles Water District will be the GSA for the portion of the basin that they've defined as within their authority.
Within their authority, but does that include all of the critically overdrafted portions of that basin?
I believe it does, but to the extent if there are some areas that it doesn't, then the county would be the GSA, and then they'll have to coordinate on the management of the basin, but they can be separate GSAs for the different portions. That's acceptable.
The, if I may add a couple of comments, it is work in progress because the county has, you know, several basins that they have to deal with. You know, they have the critical basin of Paso. You know, there is the Nipomo area. There is Vienna Valley right here, which is medium priority. So some of the current thought is, do you have individual agencies for each of these basins that then would be under a larger umbrella agency, or do you set up, you know, MOUs? So that's still fluid right now. So the issue of Paso specifically right now is more of how to establish a district with a board and a set of regulations associated with that basin. So it's really, in a sense, intertwined with what the county is looking at with the rest of the areas. The county has 12 new positions for a newly formed department, which is the Water Resource Division, if I say it correctly, under Public Works. Also, a new manager has been assigned. And all of this has taken place just in recent months. Is that about right?
And I think the amendment to SGMA that was recently approved has some guidelines, I guess I'd say, or the requirement to establish more guidelines about the coordination between basins or adjacent, or when there's different GSAs that both want responsibility over one basin as well.
They have to show the coordination between the two for the benefit of the basin, so to be approved.
Does that answer your questions?
Pretty much.
Okay. We can look at more specifics if you'd like later. I had one or two more on the whole report. Thanks. Just to let you know that the Cuyama Community Service District is pursuing some changes in how they've been dealing with their wastewater effluent to better protect their groundwater basin. And I've seen notice of the water rights change petition that's necessary for that to go forward. And I think that is all.
Mayor Delgado?
Thank you. Lisa, on the conservation piece, at the top of page 2, there's a table, and the column third from the right is titled conservation standard. And what's the source of that? What is the conservation standard? What is that?
Let me get there. Okay, I'm not 100% sure, but what I think is that that's the percentage reduction that the state board required. So originally, the governor's executive order required 25% reduction by all urban water suppliers in the state, but then they did more analysis and evaluated that there were several entities that were had already made significant progress in conservation, so they actually established standard percentage of reductions individually based on water use relative to the 25% reduction.
Okay, so it looks like across the board, almost every single entity in our area exceeded the expectation or the requirement or the goal standard. Okay. The second to last column from the right, is titled Estimated Monthly Residential Gallons per Capita Daily. Yes. Does that include all the water used in a jurisdiction divided by the number of people that live there, such as commercial, or is it somehow only looking at residential use?
I do think that's only residential use.
Okay.
That's what the R represents.
All right, and then I live in the Monterey Peninsula region, and I've been confused about this. On page 7, under Monterey County, you mentioned that agreements to date consider tapping peninsula water, and then you mentioned some other sources of polluted water that could be reclaimed. And what's your knowledge of the status of using peninsula wastewater? That would be Carmel, PG, Seaside, Monterey, Marina, their residential, commercial use, you know, apart from ag. What's your idea of how that's going to, what's the status of using that wastewater? Are there agreements relative to that that aware of?
I'm not sure about that.
I don't think so.
We're familiar with the Salinas wastewater, industrial wastewater discharge, and agricultural drainage and reclamation.
And that's what the Pure Monterey Bay Pure Water is all about. Correct. It's all that ag stuff. Doesn't include the peninsula wastewater. So
that's true. It also includes some stormwater runoff, but not the peninsula wastewater at this time. Yeah.
All right. And then at a further time, can I get a map of the boundaries of the San Luis Obispo County's groundwater basins, the ones that are listed on page 7, the Napoma Mesa, the Paso Robles, and the Los Osos?
Sure.
All right. Thank you for the report.
We could also send you the DWR link to their groundwater page. That's got, have you looked at the Department of Water Resources groundwater page?
Yep.
And that has maps on there and shows the critical basins and all of the individual basins.
Yeah, they're kind of a larger scale, and I kind of wanted a smaller scale so I could see where residential communities fit in.
Okay.
I did have one other question. I'm sorry, and it should be hopefully very brief. On page 8, you talk about the use of desalinated water from Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. In a 15-second, you know, how do I explain to the public that it's safe to use water from a nuclear power plant? I mean,
I think the way you explain it is there's the water doesn't, there's no cross contamination or touching of, I mean, the radioactive water in a nuclear power plant is completely self-contained in steel, self-contained, and it's just through heat exchangers that you transfer heat to other water, say for cooling, and the same for desal. They're just using the waste heat, and I don't know if they have to add some additional electricity to generate to push the water through or not. But I mean, the desal is just taking water that they're bringing into the system anyway for cooling. And they have tons of electrical power there, so they can pre-warm it, and then they can use the energy to run it through the desal. So it's nothing more than a small desal plant.
Okay. So our board staff, there's no safety issue whatsoever because of...
No, and we wouldn't have any jurisdiction over that anyway.
Okay. Thank you.
We haven't heard a lot more about the... I think it's just a conceptual proposal at this time, but my understanding is it wouldn't even necessarily be the water that's used in the plant. The concept is because they have a desalination plant on the premises that they could just bring in seawater and expand the capacity of providing clean water.
Yeah, the plant, if I may supplement a little bit of information, the plant is operated by General Electric for PG&E, and the total capacity is in around 1.2 million, and currently the internal use for PG&E is around 250,000, so they do have excess capacity available, and it's this excess capacity available they're considering to sell to neighboring community. You know, if you look at the water that runs through the desal plant, it's basically the same water that is discharged back into the ocean, and it's identical to it. So that water that is discharged back into the ocean, you know, does not have any, you know, radioactive contact. So I think the descriptive of a heat exchange is a good one. So there is really no direct connection between the two.
And I would say, if the source water they're using is water that is diverted from the stream, the cooling, once through cooling, it's going back to the ocean, then it's probably safe to say I mean, that water is within our jurisdiction to the extent it's being discharged to the ocean. And it's probably safe to say that there has been long-term monitoring going on for any radioactivity in the water going back into the ocean.
That's an NRC requirement, actually.
That part, yes, that's not what I was talking about. I was addressing Mr. Delgado's concern about the actual water that was produced by DSAL. The quality of that water, we do not have jurisdiction. That would be the Division of Drinking Water.
Right, but we do have actual jurisdiction over the quality of the source water for that, because
not the source water, but the discharge. We permit the discharge, not the intake.
Right, but the source, as I understand it, the source water for the DSAL is a diversion from the discharge stream.
That's correct.
That's correct.
The intake of the water is not, we don't permit that except through the State Water Board's once through cooling policy covers that. We don't permit that. What we permit is the discharge of the water once it's cooled the plant. That's the point at which we are concerned about water quality. We permit that.
But Mr. Johnson is correct in, you know, his statement that the intake water used for the RO system is the same water that is going through the discharge.
That's correct.
To
Mr. Thomas.
To complicate this some more.
Well, thank you so much.
The Water Board has jurisdiction over the discharge from the power plant, the cooling water discharge, except for radionuclides. We do not have jurisdiction over sampling and analysis of any type of radiation in the water. That's up to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
Correct. That's the NRC.
Okay, that concludes the drought report. And I just want to mention Lisa's going to go to UCSB and give a presentation on drought conditions to a class, environmental policy class, in January.